Welcome back to News and Views. Doug Burgum's learning what it's like to, even though he's a Republican, and he is a Republican, and he's running for that Republican slot on the ballot in the Republican primary coming up here in June, he's learning what it's like to be a Democrat. And that means somebody who isn't in the inner circle of power in the state of North Dakota. It happened recently in a hearing out in Bismarck. It was a big setup, and the setup was based upon a little thing called the Angel Fund, right? I mean, the Angel Fund was a way, and this was a Republican initiative that was pushed forward so you can sprinkle some money around here, you can take your money there, you can get a tax break here and there, and you can do some good with it, right? Now, the rules were set up by the Republican legislature, and they were left about as loose as what you can possibly leave them. You know why? Because that's what they wanted. That's exactly what they wanted. They didn't want anyone coming back at them and looking what they did with their angel money here or there. They wanted it fairly loose. They didn't want it like Minnesota was. Well, when they found out that Doug Burgum, who they don't want to be their candidate for governor, when that inner circle, that inner power out in Bismarck found out that Doug Burgum had actually utilized this tool, this angel fund tool, to try to help some people out in different parts of the country, what they did was they said, well, now we're going to take him to the woodshed. Now we're going to put him in a place here where he understands that all of this money was supposed to stay in North Dakota, but they didn't write the rules that way. And so this hearing, ladies and gentlemen, was a setup. And so I've asked Doug Burgum to come on air with me today. Doug, you're a Republican. I'm a Democrat. I don't blame you, but I got to tell you, that was a lynching going on in Bismarck on you. I want to get your take on that.
Well, it certainly feels politically motivated, Joel, and thanks for having me on this morning. Because when this thing was the intention of the law, the letter of the law, we followed both the intention and the letter of the law. This was about capital formation. It was trying to get capital in North Dakota, just like up at UND. I mean, this has been supported by, you know, Bruce Jovig, Center of Innovation. It's been supported by, you know, people across the state that know that North Dakota ranks 47th out of 50 in terms of capital. And if you want to create, if you want to create a business, you need three things. You need an entrepreneur, you need an idea, and you need money. And North Dakota was always short of risk capital. I know this better than anybody in terms of how hard it was to get money to start businesses here. And so this was good policy. And the Republicans passed it. They passed it. They expanded it. But now they don't like it.
Was it too loose? And I say this because the criticism your opponent has is the fact that nobody has a way of finding out where the money went. What was it too loose in terms of money? And Wayne's big complaint of you is that the money didn't stay in state. You didn't make those angel investments in state. I want you to speak to that.
Well, this is part of the hypocrisy here, because there's a separate program that the Republican legislature passed called the Seed Capital Tax Credit, which they're not talking about. And that was a law that allowed people to invest in North Dakota businesses. That's what that law was for. The Angel Tax Credit was about, how do we create the venture business in this state? And if somebody invests in a certified angel fund, that angel fund invests in a North Dakota business or a Minnesota business or any business in the region, if that business takes off and makes money, that North Dakota person pays North Dakota income tax. So this does benefit North Dakota regardless of the investment is. And if you're trying to create a manufacturing industry in North Dakota, if you told Bobcat you can only sell your Bobcats in North Dakota, or we won't do anything with you incentives-wise, telling a financial services company that they can only, do financial service investments in North Dakota. Because if you want to talk about hypocrisy, let's talk about the state of North Dakota. Where does the state of North Dakota invest their funds? I mean, Wayne wants to talk, he's actually been on the record saying that investors have a moral obligation. You know, you don't just have to follow the letter of the law to the T and the intent of the law to the T, but apparently there's another new standard called moral obligation. Well, what about the billions of dollars we have invested in North Dakota that are going out of state? Is there a moral obligation to invest that money back in North Dakota?
You're obviously talking about the fact that he sits on the Industrial Commission and oversees the Bank of North Dakota, which can make many of those type of investments. I'm talking about this, Doug. Is it too loose? Does the public and should the public have more of a right to know of where these angel funds are going, where the benefit is coming from, who's investing in it?
I think absolutely they can be tightened up in terms of this. And, you know, and one thing that my running mate Brent Sanford and I, coming from the business sector, we're all about transparency and accountability. And it's, you know, it's interesting to me because, you know, having, I've been a private, you know, in the private sector in the last 20 years, I've been a corporate officer of public companies, you know, Microsoft, Great Plains, now Atlassian. And in all those instances as a public company, there's so many rules and regulations imposed by the federal government on, you know, the transparency and accountability. Every quarter, you know, the information we have to release, and North Dakota as a state isn't even matching up to these same standards that we hold our publicly traded companies. And, you know, a person can decide whether they want to be an investor in Microsoft, but none of us get to decide whether we're a taxpayer or not. And so, yes, absolutely, we need to have stronger and deeper and better transparency across the entire operation of government in North Dakota. And I'm all for that.
How does this hurt angel funds when the political winds change? And now you went from hero, donor, supporter to opponent. And they take after you the way they did out in Bismarck. What does that mean to others who might want a future in public service in the state of North Dakota? What happens to other angel investors?
Well, you're a great point there, Joel, because, again, if Wayne Stengem wants to be governor, and if we think we want to have a career politician or a government lawyer in the top seat, is the governor, the CEO of the state, when this is about when the CEO needs, CEO of our state, the governor needs to be a cheerleader, you know, for new businesses, for entrepreneurs, for innovation, for capital formation, for startups. You know, you don't if you want to be in that seat, you don't campaign for that office by attacking someone who's done it, you know, longer and better and deeper than anybody else in the state. And that's what he's doing. I mean, the hypocrisy here is, you know, his vote for me, I'll be good for the state, but I'm going to get elected. I'll say anything I need to get elected. I'm going to attack someone who for the last 33 years has created thousands of jobs, invested more of their money back in the state than anybody that he can even point to. And, you know, so again, the hypocrisy is, I think it just shows how desperate their campaign is right now, because this is a thin straw they're pulling on.
I do have to ask you this, because you've been very active in the political process. You've sent people out to Bismarck to lobby on your behalf. I understand that you understand the process. I've seen you stick up for people's human rights. I've seen you stick up for things like this, angel investments. Were you part, or do you feel responsible at all for it being as loose as what it is? I mean, did you really help craft the message of how this all went about?
I would have to say no on that. I mean, you know, legislators make the law. Legislators can, you know, decide how they want to do it. You know how it works. You know, people can advocate, you know, just like the students up at the Dakota Venture Fund, you know, and UND, you know, one of the only student-run venture funds in the country have advocated for this, just like other angel funds across state advocated. I mean, people that are in business understand, again, the three legs of the stool, the idea, the entrepreneur, and the capital. And if we want to be friendly to capital, if we want to move out of 47th place, you know, then we need to figure out a way to do that. But, you know, in terms of tightening things up, you know, great. But this thing, you know, you have to look any further than Wayne's running mate. You know, she was along with everybody else that unanimously voted to even expand this thing. So they've had opportunities in the past to tighten it up if they've wanted to, but nobody complained. No, there was no complaints until I started running for office.
Well, that's a bigger, broader issue, and that's the one that I wanted to tie it back into, Doug. Doug Burgum is our guest. If people want to find out more about you, Doug, while we're talking here on the radio, where do they click onto their computer to find your campaign?
Doug Burgum from North Dakota, you can find it at dougburgum.com.
All right. So I have to ask you this. You're starting to feel now what I and my party have felt like for years, which is once they're after you, once they make their mind up that you're not going to get that brass ring, you're not going to get that leadership role, they use every tool in their power to get after you. That it's one thing to hold a debate in public. It's one thing to bring an issue. Wayne Stengem has the power to do that. It's another to use a legislative oversight committee to attack somebody. And I want you to have the ability to talk about how the Republican establishment is really using every tool it can to get after you on this.
Well, I mean, the first place that you just ought to start is understand that Wayne's campaign treasurer is the person leading this committee, and that ought to be disclosed, you know, right from the start. Or maybe he ought to recuse himself, you know, from the debate if people are, you know, concerned, because that certainly seems like a conflict of interest right off the start.
Well, good luck with that. The point is, every tool in the toolbox that they're going to have between now and June, they're going to use to go after you. And that tells me one of two things. Either your message is resonating and they're fearing you, or B, they have some internal polls that scare the heck out of them. Now, I know that some people have been out there trying to discredit polls you have. What is your campaign seeing? I mean, you to get your message across, you must be out there talking to the public itself. What are they telling you?
Well, I think you're right on both counts, which is we are close, and the message is resonating. And I just got back from 3.5 days in the northwestern part of the state, traveling with Mayor Brent Sanford from Watford City, my running mate. And when we're out there in Williston, Watford City, Stanley, Minot, Garrison, Underwood, when we're in these cities talking to people, again, everybody out there is facing the same challenge. Everybody's top line revenue is off. Most people have had to make adjustments in terms of the number of employees they have. Everybody's looking at, lower or non-existent income this year. And people are worried about the other side of the coin. What's happening with property taxes? Where are my taxes going? So there is economic concern everywhere. And then I'm running against someone who every time he stands in front of a crowd says, there's never been a better time than North Dakota. Tell that to the woman who showed up in Watford City whose son had a, traumatic brain injury. And her home health care was discontinued because of this 4%, budget cut. Tell that to the hotel operator that's got 27% occupancy and has got, negative cash flow and might lose his business. And so I think, part of what people are understanding that we need to put the state on a different trajectory, and people are understanding that we need business leaders, like Brent Sanford and myself, in the office to help steer us through the crisis that's ahead.
Well, and tell that to the abused women's shelter in Dickinson while we're building a $4 million governor's mansion in Bismarck. I mean, it's complete hypocrisy. I want to get John on with you. John has a question. John, you're on with Doug Burgum.
Yes, thank you, Joe, for taking my. I've been waiting to get to talk to Doug for a long time. Doug, if you're going to beat Wayne Stengem, you got to get off the Obamacare and get him right where it is, what he's screwed up in North Dakota. Forget Obamacare. You need a new man to run your campaign for you. Get more aggressive.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Doug, your take on that.
Well, I know that on the Obamacare side of the thing, which again, there are elements that are good, but if Wayne wants to defend Obamacare by talking about the 2% of North Dakotans that have benefited, then he should be defending every large federal scheme that gets overlaid on North Dakota. When Brent and I are in Hettinger, talking to the doctors there, one of the best rural health care centers in America, these guys are under threat of, trying to keep their doors open because of all the burden, regulatory burden that's put on them. Talking to the doctor that used to see 28 patients a day, now he's seeing 14. Obamacare was designed as a federal program. It does not match the rural health care needs in North Dakota, and we need to design something for ourselves. We can be smarter and better than a federally mandated program. I believe that in every case. We can build something here that works and works for North Dakotans, has all of the elements of compassion to take care of North Dakotans, but we don't have to bend to adopting a bunch of federal rules that just don't work for the state that we're in.
Well, let me bring up some issues, though, going along with what John's getting at. Are you ever going to talk about how the state still has a missing payloader? That BCI shipped a payloader and we still don't even know where it went? Are you going to talk about how Wayne Stengem still has yet to go meet with the SADCs? Are you going to talk about money that was wasted defending laws that we knew we can't beat on a federal level? Or is it just, what John, I think, is getting at is you're running, I realize, in a Republican primary, but the true Doug Burgum, to me, is somebody that doesn't play that partisan line of just Obamacare, but recognizes the complete waste of money we had pushing these bills that Margaret City and Betty Grandy put out there.
Well, we got 46 days left, 45 days left to the election, and I think it's important, whether it's how Wayne, was lined up with 21 Democrats to support Obamacare in front of the Supreme Court, whether it's that or whether it's the issues bring up, anything that's on this record, I think, is fair game and should be part of it because, part of standing for reelection, and if you want to move the top spot, is talking about your record. So I think it's, these are all things that need to be vetted during the campaign going forward.
You bet. Doug, always good to talk to you. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Joel.
Doug Burgum, ladies and gentlemen.